I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Accidents happen, and when they do, you'll want a lawyer who will stand up to the insurance company and fight for your rights. In case of emergency, have this name in your back pocket, Goldfinger, Brian Goldfinger. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors loss by a score of 117 to 111 to the Philadelphia 76ers at the Wells Fargo Center on Monday. The Raptors playing at 1 p.m. As part of the NBA's all-day festivities for Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, the early start might have affected the Raptors, who did not look ready to play. Which has sort of been a problem for them throughout the year. Less so of late. They've been taking care of business from December onwards. But remember November, if you just go back in the podcast archives, started a lot of these podcasts by saying the Raptors didn't really come out looking prepared to play. And, you know, there's some mitigating factors that come into that for sure. The early start obviously is always disadvantageous for the visiting team, as the Raptors, you know, that explains most of our success for those Sunday games, the early ones. Also, the fact that NBA teams spent Saturday night in Toronto, which is usually a good time. But, yeah, the Raptors didn't come out with a lot of energy, and it didn't help. They were trying to work in some pieces, too. Kyle Lowry coming back from injury that he suffered last Monday against the Brooklyn Nets. Lowry did not look like himself whatsoever. Played one of his worst halves of basketball, I thought, in the first half. Couldn't get to the layup. I think he was like 1 of 10 at one point. Finished 3 of 16 with a late three that didn't really impact things too much. Yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't think necessarily that he was ready to play, but given that it's just a bruise, I guess he can't make it any worse. Of course, if you want to limit the amount of impact he's taking, playing him 37 minutes is probably not great. But yeah, Lowry just didn't look like himself. Like, he was moving really labored, you know, moving like a guy that had a bruised tailbone, basically, and was playing through it, and he was slow on both ends. Like, he couldn't really get any separation trying to drive to the basket, which is, you know, not necessarily unique to this game, because Lowry has not been great at driving to the basket pretty much all year, but just couldn't get much separation, got blocked a couple times, just threw up some, like, he was bricking layups. It was hard to watch. And then defensively, I mean, Lowry just wasn't quite there. Like, you know, there were two instances that really stood out. J.J. Redick driving right by him for a layup, and then also T.J. McConnell driving right by him going for a layup. And that's not to say Kyle Lowry didn't have good defensive moments. You know, as a team defender, Lowry is excellent, and again, that's the same here, but just his on-ball defense was pretty rough tonight. And, yeah, I mean, I don't quite know why Lowry played. I mean, I guess if he's healthy, you can play him, or if it's just a pain tolerance, then you can play him. But the man shot 3 of 16, had 4 turnovers with 4 assists. Like, he wasn't at his best, I'll say that much. And, you know, the Raptors as a whole kind of suffered for it. You know, they tried to establish the bigs early on. You know, Ibaka, Valanciunas. Ibaka kind of struggled with the shot. Valanciunas got it going a little bit against Embiid, but Embiid was just cooking him on the other end. And, you know, Embiid had 34 points tonight, yeah, and JV only played 14 minutes. So, you know, Embiid did get buckets on everyone else too, but just Embiid was cooking Valanciunas for a bit. Although I still wouldn't have minded. I thought Valanciunas at least could take it to Embiid. I like that part of it, but I don't know. You know Dwayne Casey's decisions with that. If JV isn't perfect, then he's coming out. So that's another instance of that. But Raptors fell down early. The Sixers was playing better basketball throughout, but the Sixers are a young team. They're really sloppy. They turn the ball over a lot. They lead the league in turnovers today, 21 turnovers, kind of like the last game. And they weren't really able to establish anything too definitive. I mean, even when they were up 18, up 21 in the third quarter and stuff, I don't know, man. The Raptors still were able to put together runs because the Sixers would just throw the ball away carelessly and it would lead to transition opportunities. And, you know, eventually the Raptors did wake up, I thought, you know, midway through the third. The bench guys came in and did a good job. Van Vliet was the only guy playing hard in the first half. Second half, he got injured because Joel Embiid had a very reckless chase down block and crashed into Van Vliet on the a baseline and landed on his knee, and Van Vliet had to, you know, be helped off the floor and stuff like that. But, you know, second half, though, DeLon Wright and Pascal Siakam, your first and second stars, those two guys came into the game, gave them a boost. For Wright, it was a case of him making a lot of threes, which is surprising. But, you know, he didn't really play much in the first half, which I thought was weird because he's way too good to just be a third point guard. And, he wasn't playing great, I'll admit that much. But for him to only play 5 minutes in the first half when Lowry's playing the way he was playing, Wright should be playing more than that. And he made that point clear in the second half when, you know, he hit all these threes. The set jumper, the Sixers were going under screens on him. He was making every shot. Like a perfect 5 of 5 from three in the second half. He also made a pull-up jumper. And, Wright was pretty awesome overall, especially in the second half, looking for his own offense as the off guard. And then Siakam was just great, like, defensively, you know, all over Ben Simmons, getting to the bucket. Simmons did have 15 points on 5 of 10 shooting, but most of that was OG Anunoby. Like, just Simmons was kind of bullying him around. OG was playing him too tight, and so that allowed Simmons to bump OG, which negated the defense, and also then go up for the layup a lot of the time. That's just something you got to learn. You got to play off of him a little bit, and then bump him instead of letting him bump you as a defender. But Siakam did a good job on Simmons for the most part. Siakam also got in transition, got some energy plays, and it was pretty much a situation where, look, the Raptors weren't really prepared to play, and they needed to find 5 guys that will come out and play with energy. That's been said about the Raptors a lot this year, which is kind of shocking, but, you know, it's a long season, and I get it. But, Siakam is usually that guy that comes in and gives them energy, and he did that tonight. He did it well, so... credit to him. But the Raptors were able to eventually cut it down. The Sixers, like I said, throwing the ball away, closing games is not something they do well at all. Raptors got it down to within 1 point with 3 minutes to go, and that's very impressive considering they were down 18 points heading into the fourth quarter, just like it was the Warriors. But down the stretch, the Sixers executed better than the Raptors. I'm talking about strictly in the last 3 minutes or so. The Raptors won for an intentional foul on Ben Simmons. Simmons hit both. Simmons is a 50% free throw shooter, so that strategy backfired. Then there was like an and-one situation when Lowry went in and scored a bucket, but then that was waved off, and then the play went the other way, and they got a layup. So, I mean, it was a couple of sequences there that just weren't going the Raptors' way at the very end, and the Raptors lost the game. But, of course, that's not it. Kyle Lowry also got into it with Ben Simmons at the end of the game. Lowry, I'm not sure what started it, but the first instance of the two of them interacting was Simmons was trying to post up Lowry. Lowry kind of flopped for a call. Simmons probably wasn't happy about that. A couple minutes later, Sixers trying to inbound. Lowry's kind of standing over the ball. Simmons comes over and bumps Lowry in the hip, which obviously we know he's got an injured hip. So that probably wasn't great. And then on the ensuing possession, Simmons is, boxing out, he kind of gives Poeltl a shove, and Lowry kind of comes in and stands up for him, and the two of them start talking, and all of a sudden they get ejected. And then Simmons says, meet me in the locker room. Kyle Lowry's like, yeah, I'll meet you in the locker room, no problem. Lowry sprints to the locker room. Simmons kind of slowly wanders off, and afterwards we get a report that there was an altercation. It's not clear what exactly happened between the two of them. They did trade words in the post-game scrum. Obviously, neither of them said much about what happened. But just look at comments made by Lowry and comments made by Simmons. Like, Lowry made, like, pretty much just said one thing about it. He just said, he must think he's somebody. Whereas Simmons said, like, a whole bunch of things about Lowry. So, I mean, I don't know. Typically speaking, after the guy who says less after a fight is generally the one that won. That's just been my experience. But, again, I really don't really know what happened there. Hopefully we'll get more details. But, bottom line is that the Raptors lost. And, I thought one of the concerning things about this game, like, I wouldn't take too much out of it. Like, the Raptors playing 1 p.m., whatever, like, out of the gym was cold. I mean, the broadcast was making all kinds of excuses, so I don't really have to do it here. But the one kind of thing that did concern me about this game was the fact that you know, Lowry and DeRozan didn't really quite show composure that the way you would like to see from them as leaders. And it reminded me of a lot of last season. And that's a scary thing to say. But last year around this time, you know, they had a similar funk. I wouldn't say this year is a funk. They're stylistically, they're playing better, even though the results have been a little bit, you know, they haven't been as great. They're 1-3 in the last four games if you just want to do arbitrary endpoints. Although, of course, if you extend it back another week, you know, they had won like six straight. So, but, you know, last year in January was kind of the same thing. In these moments, I just wanted the stars to take responsibility with their action rather than, you know, getting more angry at the ref or playing less defense and grabbing people and committing techs. Because, like, what's the use in that, man? Like, both Lowry and DeRozan. Like, DeRozan started first. Like, DeRozan wasn't getting a couple calls. He pushed TJ McConnell. He got a double tech in that scenario. And then Lowry, I mean, just Lowry just didn't have it going at all and was, you know, yelling and complaining and stuff like that. Dwayne Casey got attacked too. And look, the officiating was really bad. And everything the players are saying is completely true. Like, it is the worst it's been in many years. But, I mean, at the same time, like, man, just like, what are you, like, as leaders of the team, like, we need you to stay focused, you know, basically just lock in, be tough, and play through it. That's all there is. Like, bad calls are going to happen. It's going to happen a lot. It's going to happen every single night. But, you know, you can't distract yourselves from what the actual task at hand, especially when you're one of the leaders. Like, you can't get kicked out of a game. Like, you just can't. Like, what are you doing, Larry? Why, this is the second time you got kicked out of a game this year, and it's the first half of the year, right? Like, I mean, like, what are you supposed to do? And If I'm an official looking at Lowry, I'm like, bro, you flop a lot. It's true. Lowry, even if you don't want to call it flopping, it's exaggerated content. And it happens a lot with Lowry, so it's hard to call everything. But at the end of the day, like, you're the oldest player on the team. You make the most money. You know, you're one of the two stars on the team. Like, step up, take responsibility of the team, and try to gather them and calm them down in these moments when tensions get high instead of pushing and being quite honestly, being kind of selfish about it. The same thing goes with DeRozan, to a lesser degree, but, like, especially with Lowry today, I did not like the way Lowry played, and I didn't think he should have played in the first place, and the way he played tonight just kind of confirmed that, but it was just a frustrating game all around. In terms of your three stars, I said it earlier, DeLon Wright gets the first one, CJ Miles does not get the second one, sorry. Siakam gets the second one, and then the third one, I'll give it to Poeltl. Give it to Poeltl. But, I mean, ultimately, Poeltl got tired towards the end, and that's not necessarily his fault, too. I mean, like, I give a lot of, like, I question a lot of what Dwayne Casey did in this game. Like, playing DeLon Wright so few minutes, like, DeLon only ended up playing 20 minutes. He was a plus nine in those 20 minutes. And I'm not saying that he would have, you know, won this game by any means, but, like, in a close game, in a one-possession game, you look back on all the small details that happened, and one of them was that DeLon Wright played very few minutes. And really only played because circumstances changed with Van Vliet getting injured. So you look at that. You look at the fact that, you know, in this game, like, did these guys come out ready to play? I don't want to put that all on the coach. It's also a professional responsibility on the players, but, like, prepare your guys better. And then third, like, what are you doing with Kyle Lowry's minutes there? The 37 minutes is a lot, right, for a guy coming off injury? Like, it's a lot. It just is. Like, you want to be careful when a guy comes back off injury, right? For the most part, the Raptors have done a good job with managing Lowry's minutes, and everyone is saying the right things. And for the most part, Lowry has – I don't think Lowry's played more than 40 minutes five times this year. But coming off injury in a game like this, I don't know about that. But, yeah. Oh, and then the other thing I was going to critique was that, you know, Dwayne Casey kind of benched Valanciunas and Ibaka 5 minutes into the second half, which is fine. I get it. Because they came out doing more of the same bullshit they were doing in the first half. But, I mean, in the second half, like, you can't play Siakam and Poeltl, like, the rest of the game. Like, Poeltl played 19 straight minutes, and Siakam played 17 straight minutes. Like, yes, you get an energy boost, but, like, there's diminishing returns the more minutes you play them. And it's just, as of, I know there's a lot of stoppages because of review and this and that, but you gotta do better, man. You can't have a guy playing like that. Like, just people are just aren't gonna. You're not gonna get the best out of players by playing them like that. That just it doesn't work, especially bench players. Right? So, not a great team, not a great game for the team as a whole. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, It's got to be TJ McConnell, who was by far the best point guard tonight. 18 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals, a block.
What can I say? He thoroughly outplayed Kyle Lowry. It's hard to accept. It feels like when Dellavedova outplayed Lowry in game 1 of the Bucks series. But obviously we know Lowry's better than that. He's got to recover and he's got to hold his emotions back a little bit better. But a painful learning experience for the Raptors from this game for sure. I hope they don't just dismiss it. There were some real issues in this game. And hopefully Van Vliet is okay, because, you know, as much as you want to critique Van Vliet, the one thing he does is he comes prepared to play every single game with the requisite energy. He doesn't break the scheme. And, you know, the Raptors could use some of that because the starting lineup is kind of up and down again. So, anyway, thanks everyone for listening. You can read 10 things if you want to. I don't know why you would, because this is such a frustrating game. But, I'll be back on Wednesday.